91.3 KXCI Tucson, Real People, Real Radio. Hello, Tucson. Hope you're having a great Sunday, and thanks for joining us on 91.3 KXCI. This is Kathy Harris with my co-host, Aspen Green, and we're bringing you Broad Perspectives Radio, a program by women, about women, but for everyone. And you can learn more on our Broad Perspectives Radio page at kxci.org. Well, who doesn't want a healthier, more fulfilled life? There's someone here today who can talk about just how to get that. Desiree Maltzby from the Sacred Circle Institute is here to talk about health, healing, and transformation. Aspen, tell us about Desiree.
Oh, it's my pleasure. So in 2008, Desiree Maltzby embarked on a transformative journey by establishing the Sacred Circle Institute, a sanctuary devoted to weaving the profound wisdom of the divine feminine into personal consultations, inspiring presentations, interactive workshops, and soulful retreats. This initiative reflects her commitment to challenging oppressive systems, particularly those impacting women, by promoting healing within safe and sacred spaces. Currently, Desiree is also a part of the team at Canyon Ranch Resort in Tucson, serving as a spiritual wellness provider. In this role, she plays a crucial part in the resort's mission to empower individuals to lead healthier, more fulfilled lives through holistic wellness approaches that align mind, body, and spirit. This role beautifully complements her life's work and passion for supporting personal health, healing, and transformation. Desiree is enthusiastic about sharing insights in and stories to motivate listeners to become part of the Sacred Circle Institute community, where they can explore unprecedented levels of resilience, joy, connection, and profound self-acceptance. Wow. Welcome to our show, Desiree. We're so happy to have you here.
Thanks so much for having me. It's such a pleasure and honor to be here to share and to unpack some of this work that can be a mouthful to get out.
Yes. The last time you were on our show was in March 2020. I mean, literally right before the COVID shutdown. You might have been our last guest that came down to the studio. And little did we know what was to come, right? So, and you were working at that time at the Women's Foundation of Southern Arizona, and so much has changed since then. So briefly, tell us what's changed for you.
Oh my goodness, so much has changed in really beautiful ways. In that role, I served as the Director of Programming Engagement, and I oversaw four programs, which allowed me to expand my leadership skills in ways I hadn't anticipated. And then, unexpectedly, got laid off in 2022. And upon that layoff, I was faced with an opportunity, also a really big surprise, but the opportunity allowed me to reach into my creative skills. And funny enough, right before I got laid off, I decided to do some process painting. Process painting just allowed me to express things I didn't know was within me. Doing that process opened up a whole new world for me that I had touched upon in graduate school, but I hadn't explored in about probably 14 years. And I'll say more about that as we go on into the interview.
Oh, all righty. I am very curious. So I'm glad we're going to be talking about it. I just want to know, because you just exude so much joy just looking at you. Where did you learn to be so self-loving and compassionate?
This life does not skimp on opportunities to find ways to love ourselves. And it was really through my own health challenges and crises, growing as a parent and in relationships. I've been married for, it's going on 33 years now, really long time. So that's a really great playground to learn about yourself as well as parenting. But when I was going through my own health challenges, I had a really big awareness around our health and healing capacity. And the one major thing that dropped in was that our bodies can heal itself. The loving piece got amplified as I learned a process called healing touch. And the power of love in it of itself is transformative. And I played around with, let's see what happens when we can love ourselves fully, like beyond anything we imagine. And loving ourselves isn't just the parts that we like to celebrate and amplify, but the shadowy parts of ourselves, the parts of ourselves that we never want anyone to know about. How can we love all of who we are so that we can show up in our fullness?
Yeah, whole body, whole mind wellness. That's amazing. I aspire towards that. But, and after this show, I imagine I will find my path and way to do that.
I love
So,
it.
can you give us a background on your love for ancient healing traditions? I'm very interested in that. And which traditions specifically?
Yeah, absolutely. When I had my first healing crisis after my first son was born, I had disseminated valley fever, arrived to Tucson 5 months pregnant, and then delivered and got extremely sick. So after I navigated that journey for a year, I got curious about what's next. What does healing continue to look like? And I found my way to massage therapy. And thankfully, I had the opportunity to learn about lots of different modalities, one of them being Reiki, and later on Qigong, and some other energetic body systems. The ones that I played with most often were Qigong, because it had a physical impact and I could feel the energy moving through me and my breath, even getting grounded. So that's my favorite one to introduce people to their self-healing capacity through Qigong.
I love Qigong. I worked at an acupuncture school in town and I took Qigong once a week for all the years I was there. Is your degree in transpersonal psychology a key part of your training and the work that you do at the Sacred Circle Institute? And can you explain a little bit what transpersonal psychology is?
Yeah, it's another mouthful kind of description of psychology. It is a key part in the work that I do. It became a key part in how we look at spirituality and all of the different pathways and perspectives to connect to the divine. And so for me, it opened up this umbrella of approaches that we as humans have participated in and curated, and allowing ourselves to find the ones that felt most aligned to our own organic nature, a way that we connect to spirit, just in our ways of living through our breath, contemplative practices. So that kind of gave me the spiritual language. The other part that my training in transpersonal psychology did was give me a practice to engage in as an experiment. Let's see how it works for me when I do creative expression, when I do meditation, when I spend time in nature, when I connect to my community. So there's six components to transpersonal psychology that allow us to evaluate our ways of being, and those ways of being in relationship with ourselves, other people, nature, creatively, in community, and intellectually or spiritually,
okay.
I should say.
Why was the Sacred Circle Institute founded, and what is the mission and the vision?
Such a great question. It was founded by this never-ending nudge and pull of my desire to learn and share. So I learned things. I've learned a lot of things. Gemini rising, that's just one of my issues. I like to learn, but also I like to share. And in my sharing, I also like to hold space for people's own transformation and things that they can connect to within themselves. I don't see myself as some kind of person who has any special powers. I just spent a lot of time paying attention. And life has given me lots of opportunities to pay attention and to invite people to notice what it's important for them and how to reclaim some parts of themselves that may have got left behind in stressful situations and harmful relationships. It was created as a sanctuary, as a safe place for people to find community in a way that feels safe for themselves, to explore, to also practice this self-love and compassion principles that I talk about and find really useful and helpful.
And I know you work with a woman named Kalisha. She's the other facilitator at the Institute. Talk to us about her and how did you meet her?
Yeah, Kalisha is a dear friend of mine. She and I met at a nonprofit philanthropy event. She worked for a regional organization in Phoenix, and they came down to host an event for the nonprofits in Tucson, and I was asked to go to represent the Women's Foundation. And she was the only other Black woman in the room. And so I went over and introduced myself. And in my introduction, somehow we started talking about women's circles. And she had invited me to join her women's circle, which was online at the time. I believe at the time, I was the director for women's circles at an organization called Women Within. And so we started to share information, and she got curious about the things I knew, and I got curious about what she knew, and she decided to go through that training program. And through our time, we stayed in touch and have had simpatico, is what the word that comes to my mind, similar experiences. So kind of following in each other's footsteps. So that's how we met. And what she does there, she is a pastoral counselor, and she hosts Sister Circle and online retreats, really giving people access to the kinds of support that you can get here at the Canyon Ranch.
All right. I need to know what a holistic sexuality educator and coach does, and who seeks out these services?
That's a great question. So holistic sexuality education, it really fits the model that Sacred Circle is based on, looking at your whole self and how your whole self engages in sexuality, pleasure, consent, unlearning some of the values that maybe have kept us feeling small, most especially women. As we look at the landscape of sexuality in our country, it's very male-focused, male-dominant, male-centric. And I like inviting people to explore a deeper understanding of their sexuality. What kind of touch do you want? And what do you want it to feel like? And how do we expect, this is one of the things I found fascinating when it was revealed to me, we expect other people to know how to touch us, how to make us feel good, where we don't even explore it within our own selves. So how do we ask for what we want when we don't even know what we want it to feel like? Use a lot of other tropes of information that don't really actually fit who we are as individuals. So it's an exploration of pleasure, touch, and also questioning values and learning and learning.
Just quickly tell us what a coaching session would look like. What are the services and modalities for that?
Yeah, it could be one of two things. A one-on-one service in which either we meet in person or on Zoom, and I hear and learn a little bit about the areas in life in which you find struggle, or that you want to amplify, or that feel challenging and confusing, especially as we age, and especially women and men. And I'm using that just based on biology, not how people represent themselves or their orientation. But as we age, we sometimes get disconnected from connection and physical touch and intimacy. And I help people explore ways that they can do that through conversation, through playful means. And I use creative expression sometimes to help us navigate the landscape of what that could look like, because sometimes words get in the way of how we really want to express ourselves. And creative expression can be a playful and yet powerful way to do that without the risk of feeling too exposed or
vulnerable, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And yet, yeah, that vulnerability is so important.
Yeah. Those are really all good things to think about. We're going to stop now and take a music break. And when we come back, we'll talk about spiritual guidance and some of the classes and workshops that you give down at Canyon Ranch as well, or at your own business. So, Kathy, over to you.
It is time for a music break, but I have to say, Desiree, what an interesting path you have had to get to where you are and to teach these very important things to women in our community. The song that you have chosen, it's called I Hope You Dance. And this version is by Gladys Knight. Is there any particular reason why you chose this song?
Thanks for the question, Kathy. Yeah, I was trying to figure out what I was going to do after I left Piedmont Community College. I worked there for 15 years, and I spoke with a spiritual person. And this song came to her as a gift from my grandmother to me.
It's an incredible song, and I urge everybody to listen to the words of it. It's very inspiring.
Thank you.
The song I Hope You Dance is a country pop song. It was originally recorded by Liam Womack in 2000. It went to number one in 2001 on several charts, and it won a Grammy Award for the best country music song. It won a lot of awards, actually. It was later covered by Gladys Knight and released in 2013, and that's the version we're going to hear today. In the song, the narrator expresses her wishes to an unknown you. And over time, it's been adapted as a song for people who have lost someone, a song that encourages survivors to live life to its fullest. So let's listen to I Hope You Dance by Gladys Knight from her album, Another Journey. 91.3 KXCI Tucson. That is a beautiful and inspiring song, and I love Gladys Knight's version of it. This is Broad Perspectives Radio, and we're returning to our conversation with Desiree Maltzby from the Sacred Circle Institute.
All right. What kinds of spiritual guidance is available, and how does one explore the depths of their spiritual self?
That's a great question. Thank you, Aspen. It's really interesting coming to this work after trying to curate my own version of it outside of Canyon Ranch, and how I felt like I was a duck to water once I started to play in this cosmology, is what I call it, this healing cosmology. So spiritual guidance is a conversation. It's about how spirituality can show up in your life if you want it to, and it means so many different things to people. And ways to practically feel connected to that sense of spirit within you.
So I just wanted to say, because you mentioned that your Gemini helped you be a person who wants to do more learning, it made me think, well, I'm a Virgo, I'm very earth, and I feel like sometimes I'm very attached to the ground. That, for me, I feel like is sometimes a deterrent for me to understand spirituality. But I do find a connection to spirit when I'm out into nature. Do you find that other people have any kind of issues with connecting to spirituality?
That's one of the number one questions in my spiritual guidance sessions, is that people want to understand how they can deepen what they currently believe or be introduced to new ways of engagement in a way that they can understand, that makes sense for them, that feels real for them. I often go to the body just because of my training and the things I'm most familiar with. But guiding people to notice their breath, especially when they're feeling a sense of stress or overwhelm. And then also seeing ourselves in this beauty of nature all around us. We all are made of the same molecules, just arranged differently. And when we have negative self-talk, we are impacting ourselves. And how can we move away from that narrative that was either given to us or that we developed over time along our life journey to be in a place that's more healing and loving and accepting? Yeah.
These are the kinds of things you wished that your daughters would learn at a younger age, like junior high school, even high school. And I just wish that there were classes. Self-talk is a huge one. But spirituality and self-love, all of this, it just makes me wish that we had this training when we were younger. How does one connect with animal and plant spirits?
Another great question. I love playing with this idea. When people hear about animism, they get really curious. What is that? How do you do it? I describe animism for me as holding the importance of the interrelationship that we have with all things. Everything has energy. I would even go far as to say everything has spirit, and that we are on an equal playing field. I went to Kitt's Peak recently, and they talked about the solar system, the way that we see it, like being on a plate. So this equanimity of the importance of all of life around us and the interrelationship that we have with it. So I taught my kids when they were young, they thought it was probably a little cuckoo, to talk. Right? To be in relationship with plants, trees, rocks, waterways, the sky, the earth. I even would have them apologize when they rip leaves off of a tree. I'm like, did you ask permission? And you're just ripping these leaves off. And like, that just probably didn't feel so good for the tree. Not to say that they're personified in a way that we imagine, but there is definitely a beautiful energy.
That reminds me of the Wizard of Oz. Do you remember when they were picking things off the tree and the tree slapped them?
Exactly. So,
and it validates my talking to my plants. Thank you so much.
There's some research around that. So for me, what it could look like is just playfully saying thank you. It's seeing a roadrunner running across the road, giggling, saying, hi, friend.
Yes.
How are you?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Oh, I love that so much. All right. So what are some of the classes and workshops you offer? I want to make sure we talk about that and talk about your upcoming events if you have any as well.
Sure. Yeah. At Canyon Ranch, we have 12 different services, and they range from creative expression. I do a presentation on sacred sexuality, ancestral healing, a soul journey, which is a sound experience. And then those same principles, guidelines, experiences gets translated over in a different way, very conscious of IP, into Sacred Circle Institute and my own flavors of those, like doing painting experience classes. And I did the last one with my friend Quinn Red Mountain through Web of Life. I've done it at the drawing studio. They hosted me for a whole year, allowing people to experience that painting class for free while they paid me to facilitate.
Oh, how did I miss out on that?
It'll be coming back hopefully in the summer.
Oh, good.
And some of the other things that are coming up are I'm going to be guiding a painting experience at Southwest Love Fest. And this is a polyamory, non-monogamy conference around love and relationships. And it's called Fluid Expressions, Erotic Experience of Painting. And then I'm going to be doing an erotic breathwork one-hour session Saturday, followed by Somatic Arts Painting Circle.
Okay, I think I'm going to quit my job and just take all your classes.
Oh,
And I
thank
know
you
you
for
do
that.
things like customized weddings, and there's just so much that it is involved. I suggest people go to your website. What is your website?
SacredCircleInstitute.com. For upcoming events that Kalisha and I are offering, go to our event page.
Okay.
So SacredCircleInstitute/event.
Fantastic. And do you have to be somebody who is at Canyon Ranch in order to come to your classes, or is it open to the public?
Well, for Canyon Ranch classes, you have to be a guest or
Okay.
Somebody on a day pass, which is why Sacred Circle Institute exists, so that folks who are not don't have the financial means to have this experience, do it in community.
I think I would love to take some of your classes and workshops. It was such a pleasure. This is such an important subject and topic, what we might consider taboo subjects. And so I'm really glad that you are bringing this out to everybody. Thank you so much for being on the show.
You know, I have to say, Desiree, I can't believe all the topics that you cover. I have about 500 questions, but we are out of time, unfortunately. Desiree Maulsby, thanks so much for taking the time to come and talk to us today about the Sacred Circle Institute. And thanks for your dedication to women and all people in our community. You are very appreciated. This is Kathy Harris with Aspen Green, bringing you Broad Perspectives Radio. And you can learn more on our Broad Perspectives Radio page at kxci.org. And thanks to all of you out there for listening today. And don't forget that the Tucson Folk Festival takes place next weekend, April 5th through 7th in downtown Tucson. 150 performances on 6 stages from Friday night until Sunday night. Go to TucsonFolkFest.org for more information. And now, stick around because we have Boom Goddess Radio with Jennifer Davis Page coming up next. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and we'll see you next week.